And we praise you, Heavenly Father, for your faithfulness, for your goodness, for your mighty presence. Father God, we lean on you this morning because there's no one else to lean on but you, Father. And we thank you, Father. You said, lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge God and he will direct your path. And so we purpose to do that here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Am I coming through both speakers? Okay. Thank you, Lord. If you have your Bibles today, I want to invite you to open up to Isaiah chapter 53. Has anybody ever read Isaiah 53 before? Thank you, Lord. I'll tell you what I want to do this morning is I want to talk about a subject here. I think I said this when I sent out the reminder. The Lord began to talk to me a couple of weeks ago about how to speed up the healing process in your life, how to speed up. And you know, healing, we know that healing is the will of God, according to God's will. But there are certain things, and I've been praying these Ephesian prayers over and over again for the people in our church, for me, for our partners, the ministry people that we support as well. And but you know, when you begin to pray those prayers, we have to expect that God's going to come through, that we're going to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Hallelujah. And so as we're faithful to pray those prayers, I think Pastor Lynn made mention of that in the prayer meeting last week in the back room. In fact, she's going to have that after the morning, after the second service again this morning for all those that want to go back there. But when you start to pray those Ephesian prayers, all of a sudden you begin to see things you haven't seen before. Okay? Your eyes, your spiritual eyes are open and you begin to see things and it's like, wow, this is so awesome. Amen? There's nothing more powerful than revelation knowledge. Amen? And so the Lord said this to me in my spirit, not audibly, I didn't hear with these ears, but inside my spirit, about 3 weeks ago, 2.5 to 3 weeks ago, something like that. Well, actually, it was the 17th day of April. Okay, so whatever that is. The 17th day of April, I wrote this down, and I was praying, and the Holy Ghost said this to me. He said, symptoms are the doorway or the entryway into something good or bad. Symptoms are the doorway into something good or bad. And then he goes on to say, he said, what you say about those symptoms will determine how far-reaching they will go. And so he began to share some things to me because we all have had symptoms, haven't we? Now, most of the time when people talk about symptoms, it's usually in the bad sense. Okay? Someone says, don't get near me today, I have symptoms. Okay? Have you ever had symptoms in your body? Okay? Well, how many of you know there's good symptoms and there's bad symptoms? Right? There's good symptoms and there's bad symptoms. And it's just the knock on the door. That's a symptom. All right? Now, what we do with those symptoms will determine how far-reaching they will actually go. Let me give you an example. I was watching Brother Billy Burke. He was ministering in the church in Fort Worth, in Eagle Mountain Church, about 6 or 7 months ago. He was ministering there. And so, you know, he is a healing ministry. He prays for the sick, things like that, you know. And so there were several people, of course. There are hundreds of people there, and people are coming up for healing and stuff like that. And he was praying for people, and so he would actually pray for them, and then he would ask them, how are you doing? How are you feeling since we prayed for you? And a lot of times you would hear this phrase, well, I feel a little bit better, you know, but it was kind of a blank look on their face, like, I feel a little bit better, okay? And or somebody would say, I feel about 10% or 5% better, okay? And I learned something from him just by watching him minister that I never, it really ministered to my heart. He said, here's the problem a lot of times is that we get a good symptom when it comes to healing and we're not getting as excited about it like we should. So in other words, people are expecting an instant turnaround like this, like you prayed and then the thing's completely gone. Now that can happen. That can be instant. But more often than not, it's the blade, the ear, and the full corn in the ear. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus said that. That's how the word works. The blade, the ear, the full corn in the ear. Of course, there can be instant manifestations of healing. We don't make light of that. That can happen. But more often than not, it can come in the form of recovering. The believers shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's a process. That's a process. So in other words, 10%, 5%, 20%. All right? Now here's what I learned from Brother Billy that just really ministered to me. He goes, you know how he goes, my God. He goes, my God, you feel 10% better? Get excited about that 10% right now. And then people would stand there like, they just didn't get it. He said, my God, you feel 10% better. He goes, that's a symptom. He goes, we're used to, you know, bad symptoms, right? He goes, but if you feel symptoms of being 10% better or 5% better, he goes, jump on that, camp on that, and rejoice over that symptom, because when you rejoice over that 10%, then there's going to be 15%. Then there's going to be 20%, 50%. Before you know it's 100%. Amen? That ministered so greatly to me, because so often we're expecting an instant turnaround, and that can't happen. We're making light of that. But here's the thing. Healing always comes. When you pray for people and you pray for yourself and you believe God, healing always comes. But it may not come as quick as you want it to, but here's what the Lord showed me. Here's how we can speed up the healing process. Amen? Or any kind of good symptom. I think it's important because we're, as human beings, you know, it's so easy to get discouraged over something that's doesn't seem to be happening as quickly as we think it should happen. This has really spoken to my heart about other things, not just healing, but when it comes to praying for other people and praying for family members and praying for whatever, is that when you see a little, even tiny symptom of progress, jump on that, camp on that, and go with that, and then that God will start adding fuel to it. Does that make sense? So it's so important to do that. And I've noticed that when I do that myself, that's why the Bible says when you pray, believe you receive and you shall have. It says you have to believe you receive it, then you're going to have it. Well, if you can't believe you're going to receive it, if you don't believe I receive, that's the easiest thing to say is I believe I receive. Can we say that? I believe I receive. When you pray for anything and you camp on that phrase and you say that phrase, I believe I receive, that's present tense. That's bringing the what you hope for into right now. Glory to God. So this is exciting. But in Isaiah chapter 53, let's take a look at verse 1 through 5. It says, the Lord said here, Isaiah said there, who hath believed our report? Now he's asking a question. Notice there's a question mark after that. Who hath believed our report? Now, the Lord's asking this question through Isaiah. He said, who here is going to believe my report? Amen? There's a song that says, whose report will you believe? We believe the report of the Lord. It's a really cool song. And I believe the Lord's asking that to all of us today. You know, who has believed our report? Now, not everybody believes God's report. What is God's report? What God's word says. Amen. Praise the Lord. Then he goes on to say right here, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now that's interesting, because if we believe the report of the Lord, it indicates that the arm of the Lord will be revealed to us. Now what does that mean? Now if you casually read that, you just kind of read through that, you know, yeah, the arm of the Lord and so forth. But the Bible says, God created the heavens in the span of his hand. In other words, from this point to this point, he measured out the heavens. That's the Father that we have. Look at this. From here to here, the span of his hand, he created the stars and the planets and the solar system. That's with his fingers. Now, how many of you know there's more strength in your arm than there is in your fingers? Doesn't take any rocket science to figure that one out, right? And the Bible says that when you believe God's report, his arm will be revealed to you. And the Bible even talks about how the Lord's arm is not short, that it cannot save. You know, God doesn't have alligator arms. I never said that before. You know how short those little... It's like, God does not have alligator arms. Now, people do sometimes, but... But this says, if you believe the report of the Lord, he says that the arm of the Lord will be revealed to you. That means God's strength. The Bible says when Jesus was raised from the dead, that God used his arm to raise him from the dead. It took the strength of God. It took the strength of God to raise up Jesus from the dead. Didn't use his fingers. It took all of his strength to resurrect Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen? Amen. Now again, let's get back to this statement here. The Lord said to me through the Holy Spirit a couple of weeks ago on the 17th day of April. He said, symptoms are the doorway or entryway into something good or bad. What we say about them will determine how far-reaching they will go. Now, no, most people, when you talk about symptoms, they're like, ooh, got this pain. Ouch, I got this symptom. Or they sneeze, I got this symptom. Okay? That's nothing more than the person that knocks on your door. Now, you can't help who knocks at your door, right? For the most part, most people. Do you have a big fence around your yard with a gated community? Do you have that? Most of us don't. Okay? I've seen people that do have that, you know, and usually very, very wealthy people because they're trying to protect what they have, right? And when symptoms come knocking at our door, what we do with those symptoms or what we say about those symptoms will determine. It's kind of like this. You ever heard this phrase? If you have a fire, campfire, you can throw one of two liquids on that. You can either throw gasoline on the fire or you can throw water on the fire, right? They're both liquids, but they'll have two opposite effects, okay? Now, I've done that trying to start little fires before in the woods kind of wet, you know, get some alcohol or, you know, rubbing alcohol or gasoline, something like kerosene or something like that, and you throw it on the fire and it ignites that thing, right? Well, if you throw water on the fire, it's going to put it out. Now, when a symptom comes our way, we can either throw gas on that thing or we can throw water on that thing, all right? Now, we want to say the right thing at the right moment, and we'll get into this here, but in Isaiah, he says, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? So the arm of God is the strength of God. For he shall know, Isaiah's prophesying, approximately 500 years before Jesus Christ took on flesh. Okay? He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness that we should desire to see him. And there's no beauty that we should desire him. All right? He was despised, rejected of men, a man acquainted with sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now, Isaiah said this. He said, surely. Now, underline that phrase right there. Say, surely. That means make no mistake about it. 100% absolute. He said, surely he, Jesus, hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. People thought that God was punishing him there. Okay, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. With his stripes, we are healed. Say, with his stripes, I am healed. Okay, now, I think this is pretty powerful. It's very, very powerful because Isaiah was a major prophet. There's major prophets and minor prophets. The only difference is how length of the length of their books. For example, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, okay? These are major prophets, longer books. But Isaiah prophesied more about the coming Messiah than any of the other prophets of the Old Testament. I mean, he had a bunch of, you can see all throughout Isaiah, there was prophetic statements that he made concerning the Messiah that was to come 500 years before it actually took place. And he made mention of this fact. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, see the word griefs in verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. Okay? And that's why we have a Strong's Concordance. If you have any have a Strong's Concordance. Okay? In other words, there's a little number by each word. Okay? And those, I have it on my phone actually, you know. It's a lot quicker than carrying around this massive, looks like a telephone book. You know? But whatever works for you. You know, and it'll tell you the Greek, it'll tell you the Hebrew name, so forth, and then it'll give you the definition of that name. Now, the word griefs, he hath borne our griefs, is the word choily. It's C-H-O-L-I-Y, however you want to say that. And it's actually come, it means disease and sickness. He hath borne our griefs. The King James interprets it griefs, but it says disease and sickness. Surely he hath borne our disease and sicknesses and carried our sorrows. Now the word sorrows right there in the Hebrew is the word makob, and it means M-A-K-O-B, and it means pains. Okay? So let's read it like this. Surely he hath borne our sicknesses and diseases and carried our pains. Okay? Now, go over to Matthew real quick here, and Matthew is actually referring to this scripture in Isaiah 53. And that's Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. Let scripture interpret scripture. Praise the Lord. And Matthew says it like this, and he's actually quoting Isaiah 53. When evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirit with his what? With his word. And he healed all, say all. All that were sick. That it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Do you see what I mean? He interpreted it more accurate right there. He's borne our pains and carried our sicknesses and diseases. And by his stripes, you're healed. Now, it's interesting because we started out with a phrase in Isaiah 53:1 where the Lord said this, who has believed our report? There's a lot of Christians that don't believe God's report regarding divine health. There is. And we're not making light of that. It's just that it's a sad thing because Jesus, not only, most people don't have any disagreement with the fact that Jesus took our sins. Okay? Most people believe that. Oh yeah, he took our sins. Sure he did. They don't argue with that. But people do have a problem where they haven't been taught correctly for the most part is they don't believe that Jesus took their sicknesses and diseases right prior to going to the cross to pay for our sins. Amen? But we know that from my Psalm 103, a very, very familiar psalm, the psalmist David said this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Right? What are those benefits? Who forgives all of your sins and iniquities. Number two, he heals all of your diseases. A-L-L. Amen. Who redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with love. Here's like five benefits that he mentions there in Psalm 103. Praise the Lord. So, divine healing, that's what we're talking about today. Praise the Lord, healing school. Remedy, healing school, that divine health is something that Jesus bought and paid for before we were ever born. He already made preparations for you and I to walk in this blessing called divine health. Amen. And we can, if we have symptoms in our body, we get sick, we can get healed by the power of God. Now, let's get back to that statement again that the Spirit of God said to me. He said, symptoms are nothing more than a doorway of something good or bad. And what you say about them will determine just how far they're going to go. Now, go over to Well, before we do that, go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And look at verse 22. And now Peter is also referring to Isaiah 53. Verse 22 says, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judged righteously." Now here we go, verse 24. "Who his own self, he bore whose sins? Our sins. Your sins. In his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Now Isaiah says you, amen, it, by whose stripes, what's he say here? By whose stripes we are healed. But Peter says, by whose stripes you were healed. So he's looking back. Isaiah is looking forward, before Christ, B.C., right? But Peter comes along and he says, he took our sins, and by his stripes ye were healed. Is that past tense, present tense, or future tense? That's past tense, right? Just an English lesson here today. Past tense. Past tense. The Bible says that God hath or has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's past tense. He has redeemed us from the power of darkness, the Bible says in Colossians. He hath, past tense, he has. Now that's old English. We don't say hath, we'd say has. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. I have been redeemed. I have been redeemed from sin, from sickness, from disease, from poverty, from all the curse of the law. Jesus took the curse for me. Man, when I tell you, when you begin to see that and you begin to believe that, you can't help but get excited on the inside. Amen? Oh, I mean, until your spirit just rises up. Because, you know, before you tap into anything out here in the natural, you have to get it on the inside first. Amen? You have to see yourself whole, healthy inside you, inside your thinking and your imaginary. Praise the Lord. Then it, once you do that, it's just a matter of time before it just comes to pass in the natural. Amen? It's no different than being broke. You can, all the evidence will be there like you're financially broke, but you know what? You're rich in Jesus Christ. Amen? And it really comes down to this. How do you see yourself? How do you see yourself? So Peter says, by whose stripes ye were healed. So I was healed. I'm not trying to get healed. Brother Copeland said this, the Lord said to him, he said, concerning the church, he said, my church is not the sick trying to get healed. My church is the healed that the devil has tried to make sick. Amen? Don't try to mentally reason that out, but just accept it by faith. I'm the healed. I'm already healed. Praise the Lord. Now let's get back to this thing with symptoms for a minute. Go over to Proverbs 15. And I want to, oh, I'm so excited about this. I could not wait to get here this morning to share this. Oh, my goodness. Glory to God. The Word of God is so powerful, so rich. Thank you, Lord. If you believe it. If you don't believe it, you don't get excited. Amen? But we're believers here, aren't we? We get excited. You wouldn't be here. Praise the Lord. But again, I want to go back to what the Lord said in my spirit. He said, symptoms are nothing more than a doorway to either something good or bad. And what you say about them, those symptoms, will determine just how far they will go. And that's why I said Billy Burke, when he was praying for people, they'd feel 5% better and they would just stand there like a mump on a log. Right, do you feel better? Yeah, about 5%. And they look depressed. And he says, my God! He goes, you feel 5% better? Jump on that symptom. That's a good symptom. Camp on that symptom. Build on that symptom. And then the 10% will come, the 15%, the 25%, the 50%. Before you know it, you're walking totally free. Praise the Lord. That's where people give up. They quit too easily. They think, well, maybe I didn't get it. Maybe the preacher wasn't on today. You know? No, it's a switch of faith. Now look at Proverbs 15:23. It says, Now remember what we say about those symptoms. Notice this, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Do you see that? A man has joy by the answer of his mouth. Well, listen, if you can have joy by the answer of your mouth, you can also, the opposite's true, you can have sadness and sorrow by the answer of your mouth. Amen? I was talking to somebody not too long ago, and they asked me about some things. And they said, so how's it going, Pastor Keith? Are things going okay? Now, it would be easy to jump on what's not working. It'd be so easy to talk about what's happening or what isn't happening. I said, glory to God. I said, you know, the Word of God is true. The Bible's true. Jesus is true. Amen. They said, oh, yeah. Amen. But a man has joy by the answer of his mouth. Now, we all got symptoms. You can get symptoms in your body. You can get symptoms in your family. You can get symptoms in your pocketbook. You can get all kinds of symptoms, and they're just something knocking at your door. Now, what we say about those symptoms will determine how far they will go. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth. Now, that doesn't just mean men. It means mankind. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth. So what you say can either bring joy to you or bring sorrow to you. Have you noticed that? What you talk about has a direct effect upon your spirit. And that's why it's so important. The Bible says in Ephesians, it says, talks about let our mouths be filled with grace, seasoned with salt, that we know how to answer every single person. Amen. That's not the scripture I was thinking of. It'll come back to me here. But what we say can either bring joy or sadness. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth. Now go to Proverbs 12. You're right there anyway, but go back to chapter 12 and look at verse 18. So how can we speed up the healing process or whatever we're praying for? How can we speed it up? Well, it says right here in Proverbs 12, verse 18, there is he that speaketh like the piercings of the sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The tongue of the wise is health. Amen? I see Brother Glenn sitting back there. I'll pick on him for a minute here. And I love this, though, because we can draw from one another. And I'll ask him, Brother Glenn, how you doing? He goes, man, it's getting better by the minute. Or whatever he says. What do you usually say? Yeah. And you know what? I know he believes that. He's not trying to do it. He believes that. And I like that. That ministers to me. Because he's operating. It's not that he doesn't have challenges. I'm sure he does. Probably on a weekly basis he has challenges. But he's going inside here and saying, here's what I want to see. Here's what I believe. Things are getting better. Amen? Things are getting better. And so sometimes, you know, well-meaning people, even Christians, can ask you, because I've had people do this to me, said, Brother Keith, how are you feeling? Are you feeling better? They haven't seen me in a couple years. They know I went through some physical challenges. I say, Brother Keith, are you feeling okay? They've kind of got this concerned look on their face when they ask me that. And I understand that. I appreciate that. This just happened recently. Hadn't seen someone in a couple of years. They said, are you doing all right, Keith? Kind of like question mark over their face, you know. I said, man, I couldn't be better. And it was like they went like that. You know what I mean? I said, I feel tremendous. I feel better than I did 20 years ago. Glory to God. And that just put the case to rest. You know what I mean? But do you ever notice people try to get you on the symptoms? How are you feeling? How's it going? I think we have to be careful with that because that's a loaded question. How are you feeling? Well, I may not feel exactly how I should right now, but I'm not moved by that. Amen? I'm moved by what I believe. What are you believing? Amen? Okay, so Proverbs 12:18 says, "There is he that speaketh like the piercings of the sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." Remember, what you say about those symptoms will determine how far they will go. Now, if you talk about the problem over and over again, you're like throwing gas on the fire and it ignites. Now, we know, you remember, we don't have time this morning, but if you go over to the book of James, chapter 3, remember James talked about the tongue? Y'all, you're familiar with that. And he said the tongue is like a fire of iniquity, you know, it's like the rudder on a ship, it's like the bit in a horse's mouth. And that tongue, what you say, will determine which direction that horse will go, what direction that ship will go. The little rudder controls that whole thing. He said the tongue is like that, the tongue. And so the tongue, he said, can be set on fire of hell or can be set on fire of heaven. Now, when he goes on to say about the tongue, no man can tame, don't throw your arms up and give up and say, well, see, it says no, the tongue, no man can tame, so why even try? Well, that's true. No man can tame the tongue, but the Holy Spirit inside you can help you tame your tongue. Amen? Let me give you an example. Have you ever gone to say something and something checked you on the inside? Have you ever had that happen? You're about to say something and your spirit right away says, don't say that. Have you ever done that before? What is it? That's the Holy Spirit trying to tame your tongue so that you say the right things. You can diffuse a whole lot of things by not saying certain things. Amen? Brother Kenneth Hagin said this when he was facing some symptoms one time many, many years ago. He says, the Lord gave him this phrase. He says, I feel good, I feel fine. Body, fall in line. I don't know if anybody ever remember that, Lisa. He said, I feel good. And he led everybody in that. Everybody started chanting that. I feel good. I feel fine. Body, you fall in line. Amen. At the time, you might be having all the worst symptoms in your body, but you say, I feel good. I feel fine. Body, you fall in line. And the Lord gave him that phrase. But not just for him, but for the body of Christ. Hallelujah. If we get the revelation, which I believe we are, that our tongue literally controls our destiny. Our destiny, our destination is right here. Amen. And what we say about us has more power than anybody else. You know, you can't help. I can't help what other people say about me. No, neither can you. But I can help what I say about me. And my words have more effect on me than anybody else. Amen. Have you ever had anybody speak negative over you before? Have you ever had that before? Yeah. You know, words are powerful. They are powerful, right? But I tell you what you believe about you is more important than anything else. I understand to a certain degree about the heart of God sometimes, because there are times I've tried to give to somebody and bless them and they just couldn't receive it. They couldn't see it. And I'd say, man, you have no idea what a blessing you are. Oh, well, thank you. I'm trying. I mean, I'm like, you want to shake them and say, do you understand you are a great blessing? But see, they can't see it themselves. You might be able to see it for them. Might be a family member, for example. But they can't see it. But that can change. But how you see yourself is the most important thing. How do you see yourself? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, the Bible says. Praise the Lord. I praise God for every one of you in this church. I'll tell you that right now. Amen. Oh, I thank God for the people in this church. Whew. Glory to God. But he says, there is he that speaketh like the piercings of the sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Let's reverse that. The tongue of the unwise is sickness. The tongue of the wise is health, right? Amen. I see Sister Patty Wise sitting here. The Lord gave her that name for a reason. She is a wise person. That woman is wise. I'll tell you, I've known her for 25 years now. Amen. And I've seen her face some obstacles with things, I mean, make your hair curly. You know what I'm saying? But the wisdom of God that she yields to. Amen. I just had to say that about Sister Patty. Amen. But the tongue of the wise is health. The tongue of the wise. is health. So could it be that what we're saying about our body has ultimate authority over disease or pain or sickness? Thank you, Lord. I've gotten into the habit. And it's there's good habits too. How many of you know there's bad habits in there? Usually when people talk about habits, they think about bad habits. You know, addictions or something like that, you know. And that's true, but there's also good habits. A good habit is to give thanks to the Lord every day. Oh, thank you, Father, today. You know, you wake up and your body's still waking up, you know, and you just say, oh, God, thank you. Thank you. Praise you. You get into the shower. Thank you, Jesus, today. Thank you, Lord, today. I praise you, Lord, today for my family. I thank you for my church, Father. I thank you for good health today, Father. I thank you, Lord, for protection today. And you start getting into that mode. Before you know it, you click into it unconsciously. You just do it. Praise the Lord. At first, it might be a discipline, but you can get to the point where praying in tongues, thanking God, those become normal reactions. You don't even think about it. It's like autopilot. You just click right into it. Amen? And that's a good place to be. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so the tongue of the wise itself. Go over to Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. And let's look at verse 23. Are you learning something today? Praise God. How do we speed up the healing process? Whoso keepeth his mouth, that's 23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Now that's interesting. Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Okay? So what are we throwing on the fire? Gasoline or fire? What are we throwing on the fire? Gasoline or water? Okay? He says here, the mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. And the more you talk about your trouble, the more you build on that, the bigger that trouble will become. But the opposite is true. The more you talk about the solution and the word of God and the power of God, amen, the answer becomes bigger than the problem. Amen. Now we know this scripture here, but in Joel chapter 3, verse 10, I've got to wrap this up here. And in Joel chapter 3, in verse 10, it says, beat your plowshares and swords into pruning hooks, into spears. He says, let the weak say, I am strong. That's the phrase I want you to see right there. Let the weak say, I am strong. Now that doesn't sound right, because if you're weak, you're going to say, I'm weak. Right? Most people say, if I feel weak, you say, oh, I feel weak. I just can't do it today. I just feel so weak today. Well, the scripture says right here, if you're weak, say, I am strong. What is that? Calling things which be not as though they were. Amen? Now, we used to have a cat and a dog. Now we just got a dog. The cat moved to heaven, you know. And the cat would go out and he'd wander around, you know, he'd go over the place. You couldn't even see him. But his name was Puffin. And so that was Lynn's baby, you know what I mean? And so Lynn would go out there and she'd say, Puffin. She'd just, you know, her little voice, you know, and it'd be in the middle of the night. And all of a sudden you hear, meow, meow. And you still don't see him. He's out there in the thicket somewhere. We got woods behind our house, you know, and all of a sudden he comes walking, and I noticed that the cat came when she called the cat. Right? Now, if you want the dog, don't call the cat. Get my point? So what you want, you call for it. The Bible says, he quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Someone says, well, that's lying, Pastor Keith. No, it's calling things that be not as though they were. Amen. I mean, it's been a number of years since I've done it, but I've gone fishing before, you know. It's been many years now, actually. And I don't see that fish for the most part until it gets close to the boat. But I know something's on there. I'm reeling it in. I can feel that. You can see the tip of the pole going down. That's exciting. You see that pole go down like that, you know, especially if it's a big one, you got a big fish on there. Now your eyes haven't seen it yet, but you keep reeling that fish in. You keep reeling it in. You haven't seen it yet, but you know there's a symptom. You have something on that line, but your eyes don't see it yet. And you keep reeling it in. Amen. And before you know it, there's a bass about this big, a largemouth bass. You know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden you see it and you reach down, you pull that thing up, take it out and throw it back in. Okay? And that's exactly the way it is when we catch something in the realm of the spirit. You throw your net out there. You throw your confession out there. It's like throwing the line out there, and you latch on. Something latches onto that. Your eyes don't see yet, but you just keep reeling it in. How do you keep reeling it in? You keep saying, "Thank you, Father. I'm healed by your stripes." Oh, you have a symptom. "I thank you, Father. I'm healed by your stripes. I thank you, Lord. I'm healed by your stripes." Now, folks, I'm not saying it's don't go to the doctors. Forget about that. If you need to go, go. Amen. Use your faith. If you go to the doctor, use your faith. God will still get involved with that. I don't want to give the impression that it's wrong. It's that you're in unbelief if you go to the doctor. No. But use your faith in every situation. Are you with me? But he says, "Let the weak say, I am strong." Praise the Lord. Now go to Hebrews. Just got a couple of scriptures left here. But in Hebrews chapter 4, and I want to repeat that phrase again. The Lord said to my heart, he said, "Symptoms are nothing more than a knock at your door. And what you say about them will determine how far-reaching they will go." Good symptoms, bad symptoms, right? So what we're interested in here is we want to amplify the good, right? We want things to happen quicker for us. Now, Hebrews, I believe Paul is the writer of Hebrews. He says in verse 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession," or we'd say confession. Do you see that there in Hebrews 4:14? We have this great high priest, Jesus Christ, has passed into the heavens. He said, "Let us hold fast," or hang on to our confession. Hang on to a good confession. Now go to Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 22. It's pretty much saying the same thing here. It says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold fast the confession or profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Hold fast, hang on to a good confession. Now, he said the first verse that we read there, that Jesus Christ is the high priest of our confession. Now, what does that mean? There's the present day ministry of Jesus Christ. He sits at the right hand of God where he ever lives to make intercession for us. There's a present day ministry of Jesus Christ. And he is our high priest, Mount Melchizedek, but Jesus Christ is our high priest. And one of his jobs is to see to it that what we say comes to pass. I've said this before that, you know, plumbers have tools. Electricians have tools. Carpenters have tools. For them to do their job effectively, you have to have the proper equipment or tools for them to do that job. Now, Jesus Christ is the high priest of our confession. What are the building tools that we give him? After all, he was a carpenter when he was on this earth. Amen? But now he's building something else. His job is to see to it that he builds the confession that we give him as building material or tools to give to him. If we give him our confession, then he's got something to work with. But why does he say, hold fast to the confession? Because if we let go of a good confession, it's the Greek word homologo. It means to say the same thing as God says. Same thing, homologio. All right? To say the same thing that God says. So you can have a good confession, but you can let go of it. Are you with me? Have you ever done that before? Am I the only one? You have a good confession in church. But then Monday comes, Tuesday comes, and there are symptoms that are out there. Things are going on. It's easy to let go of a good confession. Well, we've all been there and done that. Now, why would he tell us to have a good confession? Because just to make it hard on us? No. So that he's assured and assured us that what we're saying is going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass. And when you feel, I'll say this, thank you, Lord. When you feel the most tempted to have a bad confession about your circumstance is usually when you're right on the brink of a major breakthrough in your life. But you're feeling this pressure to like just open your mouth and just go blah and just talk about it. You know how bad it is? Blah. And just talk about it and just talk about it. Well, we've all done that. We all have. Now, we knew it doesn't mean we don't locate a problem in a pinpoint. Okay, here's the problem, but here's the answer. We're not saying you don't have a problem. You have to identify your problem, first of all. Okay, that's common sense. But once you identify the problem, let's identify the answer and apply the answer to that particular situation. Amen? Yeah, that one time I had a golf ball-sized growth on my wrist right here, my wrist where I wear my watch, you know. I spoke over that thing. I believe God. But I'll tell you what, it took about 2 months for that thing to completely disappear. It was actually getting bigger. I had a minister friend of mine, George Moss, pray over me. He goes, "My God, that thing's big." You know, well, that's not what you want to hear. But when that thing was on my wrist, you know, now it did, there was no pain involved with it. It's not supposed to be there. You know what I'm saying? Ugly. It's just nasty, you know? It just kept getting bigger. But the Lord instructed me to get a hold of my mouth first and foremost. He said, "You got to line your tongue up with what you believe." Now, I cursed that thing. I commanded it to drop and shrivel away in Jesus' name. But when I looked at it, it was still there. He said, now the Lord instructed me. This is many years ago now. This is probably almost 15, 16 years ago now. The Lord instructed me not. Now, here's the thing is when I was speaking over that thing, I honestly didn't feel like I had enough faith. I had thoughts coming to me constantly. You don't have enough faith to do this. Now, brother so-and-so does, but you don't. I kept having this thought, you don't have enough faith to do this. Has the devil ever told you that? Yeah. Well, Brother Hagin, Brother Copeland, these guys, they've got faith, but you don't have faith. What are you trying to do, mess with that? Who do you think you are? I had all those thoughts come to me, like anybody else. Now, I say that sometimes because that helps people where they're at, because most people think that ministers don't have problems with these things. Like it's just easy street, you know, like I can get it just like that. Listen, I fight the same devil that you fight. I fight the same discouragement that you fight. Okay? Yep. There's times I've got to talk to myself and encourage myself in the Lord because, man, the circumstance don't look too good. Amen? But I know that David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God, when people are coming after his head to take his head off. That's a bad day. I've never had it that bad. Okay? So if he could encourage himself and the Lord his God when they're coming after his life, then you better believe that I can do it under the New Testament. I can encourage myself. How do I do with the Word of God? So the Lord says, don't pray about it anymore. He says, start giving thanks, giving praise. He says, start laughing. Start laughing at it. So I would look at my wrist. I'd say, ha, ha, ha. Now, nothing was funny, but I did it by faith. I said, ha, ha, ha. I'd be in my car. Ha, ha, ha. I did it really loud. And the thought would come to me, that's crazy. What do you think you're doing? You know what I mean? And sometimes the spirit of laughter would hit me, the Holy Ghost. And he comes, you start laughing out of your belly. I mean, it's not like coming out of here, it's coming out of here. Amen, it's a holy thing. The Bible says in Psalm, I believe it's the second chapter, that the Lord sits in the heavens and he laughs at the devil. He laughs at the devil because he sees what's going to happen in his future. Amen? If God can do that, we can do that too. ha, ha, ha. I'm not trying to get healed. I am healed. Ha, 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 ha. Well, you know, I've shared that testimony before, but, you know, one night it came. The manifestation of it showed up. I was sitting in my front yard on our porch, on our front yard with our little wooden bench there that held about three people. And the four of us sat down on that thing. And it was a beautiful summer night. You remember that, Josh, right? Beautiful summer night. I'm sitting out there and I'd have my hand just like this. I said, oh, God, thank you. Thank you that you're my healer. I was just my family didn't hear me. I was just doing it under my breath. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And all of a sudden, it was like a balloon popped. And I felt it. And I looked down. I thought, amen. And I told the family, I said, now it was dark out. It was a beautiful, beautiful summer night. Full moon, stars are out. I mean, it's just beautiful, you know. I said, you guys want to see a miracle? And they're like, what do you mean? I said, come here, I want to show you something. So we went into the front porch. There's a little light bulb there in front of the front porch. And I went over, I said, look, I got my healing tonight. It just showed up. They're like, wow, glory to God. Amen. Well, I mean, I was excited about it, but you know what? I got more excited when I prayed and praised God because I had to believe I received when I pray. Amen? And what I was saying about that symptom during that time will determine. It took about 2 months for that thing to completely just dissolve, praise God. Never came back, never will come back. But I learned something through that. I had to hold fast the confession of my faith. When doubts were coming to my mind, fear was coming to my mind, this isn't working was coming to my mind, I had to laugh at it. I had to say, Father, thank you. I praise you. I thank you. Get caught up in a spirit of worship. And I'll tell you, when you begin to do that, you're going to see quick manifestations. Amen. The speed barrier, the speed of Chuck Yeager broke the sound barrier many years ago. I forget what year it was. It was probably in the 40s or 50s, something like that, you know. And nobody had ever broken the sound barrier before. And they had mystical ideas about what was going to happen. They thought they were going to just explode and blow up. You know what I mean? But, you know, these are frontiers. These are pioneers. And Chuck Yeager got in that little, the X something, whatever they call that plane. Anybody remember that plane? You can see it at the Smithsonian. It's there, his plane, you know. And he just put himself out there on the limb. He goes, I'm going to do it. He said he got up there near the sound, you know, the speed of sound, you know. And he said the plane started rattling and shaking and rattling and shaking, you know. And actually, he disappeared. They couldn't see him. They thought he blew up. People on the ground, they thought he blew up, thought that's it. But all of a sudden, here he comes around, and there was a first sonic boom. He goes passing, kaboom! And someone asked him, what was it like to break the speed of sound? He said, it was like cutting butter. But everybody had these mystical ideas that the plane was going to blow up. Everything was going to fall apart. Now, there was a lot of rattling and there was a lot of shaking that was going on, but he's about to enter into a barrier breaker incident. And now people are going Mach 1, Mach 2, Mach 3, Mach 4, Mach 5. Think about that. Can you imagine going 2,000, 2,500 miles an hour? But there are certain planes are doing that in the Air Force, not civilian planes. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? But these military planes, some of them, they can go from Pittsburgh to California within 15 minutes, you know, at the speeds that they're going. Okay, now there's no civilian planes that are going that fast, you know. But my point is this, is you're about to break some barriers in your life, and the devil has told you, you'll never go beyond this, you'll never go beyond this. You're locked in. This is as far as you're going to go in life, you know. That's all you're going to have in this life. But I'll tell you what. The spirit of faith, you're going to get into the point and the position where you'll break some barriers in your life. Glory to God. And it's a powerful thing. And through Jesus, you are a barrier breaker. What types of barriers have you had in your life? Ask yourself that. What barriers, what words have been spoken over you In fact, we're going to take authority of that right now. What words have been spoken over you that have caused you to put a limit in your life, a cap on your life where you can't go beyond that? Like you're never going to have enough. You're never going to have this or have that. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the holy word of God that's been sown into our hearts this morning. I thank you that the word of God has fallen on good ground. And right now, Lord, I take authority over every negative, unproductive word that has been spoken over the people in this church right now. Words that, like saying that you're never going to make it, you're never going to have what it takes. I break the power of those negative words that have been spoken by those in authority perhaps over you, whether it's a family member or any other person in your life. I break those power of those words, those negative words over all the minds of the people in this congregation right now, and they will never have an effect on them again in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Now, Lord, I thank you for just lifting the barrier for them right now. Lifting it up higher and higher. They can go as far and as deep as they want to go. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.